I got muted. Oh, shit. Oh, now I'm unmuted. Hi, it's Tim. I asked Eric if he wanted to introduce our speaker, but he didn't return. And you don't want to hear Eric go on and on and on and on, because he's our king leader from Al-Anon and on and on. So, to introduce my favorite redhead since Bozo the Clown, Dominic, take it away.
Oh, thank you very much, Tim. I know there's so much love in the room tonight, so I appreciate it. I'm Dominic, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. And just really quickly, I want to mention, it seems like there was a technical glitch and some people were having trouble with a stuck screen share. So I was reading in the chat and it looks like some people had to go out and then come back in. So just in case you're having that trouble, I wanted to let you know. So, but not everyone's been having that, but in case you did. So again, it's great to be with you here tonight. Welcome to the newcomers. You're in the right place and it's so important that you're here tonight. I'm glad that you're here. And I'm really grateful to Eric for inviting me to be here tonight. I appreciate you very much, Eric. One of the bonuses for being able to come tonight was that I got to be on the phone with Eric and to talk a little bit and hear some more about his story and learn some more about Eric. And it's always good to be back with the 7 o'clock Let's Rock group. I lived in LA for 4 years and was able to visit in person and had a wonderful time. A couple of the offsite weekends with the men were just tremendous experiences of growth and healing and a really good time with some really powerful brothers there. So I always appreciate being with you. And I do want to thank all those who came. Thanks to Al-Anon, I had the courage to go ahead and ask for support. And so I let my home group know about this meeting and I let some other people know about it. And I really appreciate you coming. It's great to have you here tonight. My home group is Sunday night, Al-Anon, 6 p.m. Stepped Up in Oakland, California. It's a wonderful group. Come and visit us on Zoom. You're always invited and welcome. And welcome to those who are here tonight from that group. So again, I'd like to just remind the newcomers that you're the most important people in the room tonight. And I was so touched by the birthdays. Wow, I heard some experience, strength, and hope that really helps me tonight about desperation and about coming in with so much need and so much loneliness. And so I know that I felt some of those feelings. And one of the best things about coming to Al-Anon was knowing that I wasn't alone. And so coming to a meeting takes a lot of courage. So welcome to your meeting. And I hope you hear something that's helpful. Hope you keep coming back. I heard it was recommended to come to at least 6 different meetings and try out Al-Anon before I decided if it was for me or not. You've come to a great meeting tonight that's open for the speaker meeting every month for everybody and the rest of the month for men. And there's lots of great meetings out there now. So what happened for me was that I grew up in a family affected by alcoholism in other generations, but I didn't even realize it. So I just knew that I was in my 20s and I was really struggling with some feelings of anxiety and fear and just nervousness. I felt responsible for other people's thoughts and feelings and worried about keeping the peace and people pleasing and approval seeking. And so I was exhausted from all of that all the time. And it was really difficult. And so what happened was my father, by attraction, not promotion, went ahead and let me know about Al-Anon. And so what happened was a friend of his in another program told him about Al-Anon, and my dad went to some meetings and he started acting differently. And I didn't know what was going on, but I was like, wow, he's acting kind of weird. I really appreciated the changes in his behavior that I saw. And so I was attracted by that, like it says in the traditions. And then after he didn't push it though. He just mentioned he was going to these meetings. And then after a while, he said that he gave me one of the books. It's one of our daily readers that has a little reading for each day of the year. And it's a great book to start with. And it was called Courage to Change. And so I did what I did with most of the stuff he gives me, which is I kind of threw it aside and let it sit for a while. But then one day I got curious and I picked it up and I read it. And I read the first page and I was like, oh my gosh, how did they put my life in this book? And I was really spooked out by it. So I threw it down again. But then I got curious. And so I picked it up again and I was like, oh, over and over again, like page after page, it's like they put my life in this book. And yet at that time, I still didn't realize that my life was affected by alcoholism in my great grandparents' generation. And then I started to put the pieces together. Oh, well, there was another addiction in my grandfather's generation. And then in the home I grew up in, there was another addiction that I didn't know about at the time. And so all of these things started to fall into place only after I came to Al-Anon. So what happened was I read the book every day for about 6 months. And 6 months later, it was in August. And I was feeling miserable. And it said that morning, it said, basically, when I feel miserable, I go to a meeting. So I thought, well, I'm going to try a meeting. So it was Monday and I was in Oregon, where I'm from, and I was in the boonies, and I was on vacation. And vacation is a really difficult time for me, or it was, because it's really hard for me to relax, because I want to keep you at a distance with work or with school or whatever else it is, so that you don't get to know me and I don't have to let you in. And so when I'm on vacation or just hanging out with people, that was really, oh, that was terrifying for me. And so it was really, really hard. And so I was on vacation and I was also visiting family, and I love my family members, actually, who there, I've got some family members in the meeting tonight. So I'm going to keep things general, but I won't, but it, when I'm with family, it's not always easy. And I heard in program that the reason that it can be difficult to be with family and they always push our buttons is because they installed them. And so when I'm with my family on vacation, that can be a difficult time for me. So there I am in Oregon, way out in this really rural area. And it was so rural that that Monday night, I looked on the internet and there was a meeting, and it was at the ranger station. So I went to the ranger station and I pulled up outside and I went there, and it was closed and it was locked. So I thought, oh, well, I tried. So I got back in the car, and right then it was like I had this moment of peace. And one of the ways that I experience my higher power and God is sometimes through nature. And it was this beautiful area outdoors, and this seed went floating by, and it just caught my attention, like one of those fluffy seeds that blows around. And it caught my attention, and I paused for a moment, and I had this sense, go look again. So I figured, okay, what could it hurt? So I went and looked, and around the side of the door, there was a stairway that I hadn't noticed. And so I went down the stairs and I found another parking lot, and I crossed the parking lot and a second parking lot. And there was a module in the back, and the door was propped open and there was a light on. And I'm not kidding. Later on, I found out the meeting was called The Light at the End of the Tunnel. And I always appreciate that, because it reminds me that my higher power got me here. Even if I didn't know about Al-Anon or realize there was alcoholism in my life, like, God got me here one way or the other. And so I remember there was these four women there, and I still remember three of their names, and Lonnie and Rose and Susan. And afterwards, I felt so much better after the meeting, and there was so much love there and warmth. And I want to reach out to the newcomers again and say that when I first got there, a lot of it didn't make sense. I didn't understand this new language that they were talking about, steps and slogans and traditions and blah, 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 and like sponsors. And what does that all mean? And I just knew that I felt better afterwards. And so I thought, well, I'll go back. So I went back for another meeting, and I heard, I didn't cause it. I can't cure it. I can't control it. I realized that I wasn't alone. I heard that it was a program of action, that I could move a muscle and change a thought. I heard about the slogans, which worked for me at the beginning because they were simple and I could remember them, like keep it simple. Easy does it, just for today, one day at a time. And I heard about the literature. So I had courage to change already. And I heard that there were other books and pamphlets, and I started to read those. And I heard about the phone list, that I could take people's phone numbers and call them. And all these things were helping me to realize I wasn't alone and that there was hope. The other thing is, Rose used to always say, she would say, turn it over. And she always said it like over and over again. And I didn't understand what she was talking about. And it comes from one of the steps, but she was just saying, if you got a problem or anything that's going on, turn it over. And she was talking about turning it over to a higher power. And I found out that I could come to a God of my understanding, a higher power of my understanding. And when I came into this program, I had a relationship with God and a sense of faith. And I had a life of prayer and meditation. But for me, a lot of it was a sense of kind of a gotcha God, like you did something wrong. Gotcha. And I was like looking out for God to get me for messing up and doing the wrong thing. And I had a lot of perfectionism and paralysis. And again, I've mentioned the anxiety. And so that was in my relationship with God. But thanks to the steps talk about a loving God. And then in step three, and in the traditions, in tradition two, it talks about a loving God. And in step three, it talks about a caring God. And so those words of caring and loving were really important to me. And over time, because of the love that I received freely from so many people in Al-Anon, like this beautiful love. What's the word? Thanks. I'm kind of nervous. There's a lot of people tonight. But anyways, unconditional love. That's the word I was looking for. The unconditional love was so powerful that it helped me to realize, wow, perhaps really I am lovable and I can give that love to others. And perhaps there's a higher power who loves me unconditionally. And that's why I love anonymity, that I come into these meetings and people don't know my last name or my profession or my religion or my politics, and yet they open up their hearts to me and share from their hearts, and I can open up my heart and share from my heart. And it's such a safe place, and it's such a wonderful place to be. And so because of that unconditional love, it's really opened up my relationship with that higher power too. So what happened was I went to those first couple meetings in Oregon, and then I went back to the Bay Area where I was living at the time. And I've moved several times because of work in the last 16 years since I entered Al-Anon. And what happened was I went to about six meetings, and then I kind of fell away and stopped going. And I don't remember what happened exactly, but I kept the book and I knew about Al-Anon. So it was in the back of my mind. And then I was on vacation again, and it was New Year's Eve. So it was a stressful time of year, and I was around family. And it was January 31st, 2004, and I went to Al-Anon. And I marked that as my Al-Anon birthday because I've been coming to meetings ever since then. And that night, I was in a fix. There was some difficulties going on, and I was struggling with family. And I was like, oh, okay, I know what I need to do. I'm going to an Al-Anon meeting. So it was New Year's Eve, and I went to an Al-Anon meeting. And a great time, and it was a wonderful meeting. And I was able to go home and enjoy the rest of the time with my family. And so I'm really grateful for that meeting, and I've been coming since then. And I went back home to the Bay Area and found a home group. And a home group is a group where I choose to go to the same group week after week, and I let them get to know me and I get to know them. And that was really important because, like I said, I wanted to keep you at a distance and not let you get to know me. So I'd show up at the last minute and leave as soon as I could at the end of the meeting, you know, who's gonna get to know me. But over time I kept going, and I got a sponsor, and I got more involved in the program, and I learned to be of service and chair some meetings. And I remember how scared I was at the beginning doing that. But with time, I got more and more experience, and I heard so much experience, strength, and hope in the rooms. Eventually, I got a sponsor who said, okay, we're going to work the steps, and we're going to go through them from the beginning, because the steps are in an order for a reason. And we went to step one and two and three and four, and the steps are really wonderful. I've heard that relief is in the meetings and recovery is in the steps. And that's been my experience, that he gave me a structure and a way to walk through that. And so a sponsor is someone that has experience in the program, who's willing to guide me through the program and answer my questions, to give me attention and time outside of the meetings. So I can come and share in meetings, but then my sponsor can give me more attention that I might need afterwards to walk me through the steps and to guide me in the program. And to get a sponsor, just as I listen for someone who has what I want, and then I ask them if they're willing to be my sponsor. And being a sponsor, just to put it out there for anyone who's anxious about looking for a sponsor or finding a sponsor, being a sponsor is a great gift. I've had the opportunity to be a sponsor of a number of men now, and cheers to my sponsees who are out there tonight. It's good to see you guys, and happy birthday, Rob, and happy birthday to all the other birthdays. I forgot to mention that. It's wonderful to be with you. So sponsorship is a great gift. I can honestly say to my sponsees that you're helping me more than I'm helping you. And it really keeps me in the program. When I say yes to their telephone calls, when I answer the phone, when I give what I want to receive, I give that consistency, I give that love, I give that listening and support that my sponsor's given to me. It just passes on what I've received so freely from other people. So it's never a problem to receive a phone call. And I can always say, oh, I'm not free. But if someone puts their phone number out there, or if I put my phone number out there, it means that I'm willing to take a call. And I don't have to worry about, oh, well, what if they're busy or not busy? No, it's up to them. And so they can take a call or not take it. And I've had some phenomenal 5-minute phone calls with some really good people with strong recovery. So you give me 5 minutes on the phone with someone with good recovery, and man, I can get so much out of that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a long call. So phone calls are a big help. Having a sponsor is a big help. And sometimes I had to ask over and over again, and took a while to find men in the program to sponsor, because it was helpful for me to have a man that I could work with as a sponsor. And excuse me. But I didn't give up, and I asked for help. And I often pray and ask my higher power, please help me to find the right person at the right time, and just turn it over to my higher power when I'm looking for a sponsor. And so I found the sponsor, and before I found him, I'd had a couple others, and I'd moved, and so I changed sponsors, and I was working on the fourth step by myself without a sponsor. And I don't recommend that, any of the steps, but especially the fourth step. And the Blueprint for Progress is a booklet that some people find really helpful, and it can be really helpful. And I was using it, but I don't recommend using it on your own. Not when it's someone like me who struggles with control and perfectionism, and I was going to be on the fourth step forever. And that was really scary to me. And so I'm glad I had a sponsor. He said, nope, we're going back to step one. You need to start with 1, 2, 3. And then when we got to 4, I was ready for it. He had a nice structure. He said, this is what you're going to do. We're going to meet in 2 weeks. And it didn't have to go on and on forever. And then we had a fifth step where I shared with him what had gone on. And it was wonderful to build that trust with someone and that consistency. And he was really there for me. And he's been there for me for 12 years now. And I really appreciate my sponsor, Justin. He's a really great guy. And I know he's a human being like the rest of us and just doing his best. But he's been wonderful to have as a sponsor now for these 12 years. And so let's see. I moved to some different places, had some really wonderful home groups. There's some people tonight from one of my home groups in Alaska who are here tonight who came to support. So welcome to those who came from there. So after I got the sponsor and worked the steps, being of service was really important. What else? Let's see. I'll share that. Oh, I was going to say the other steps later on, especially for the newcomers and those who don't have too much time in the program, like it sounded like step 8 and these other steps, they sounded like they were a million miles away. And like step 4 and 5 were like Mount Everest, and I was never going to get over them and get to 8 and 9. But I do want to say that those steps later on are totally worth it. They are so worth it. That the amends and the joy and the freedom that I've gotten from making amends in my life has been so worth all those other steps and the pain. And it is a struggle. There are times when I didn't want to come, but I suited up and showed up anyway. I was taught, and I've always heard, you know, suit up and show up, tell the truth, let go of the results. So just making sure I got there. My sponsor had me start coming to meetings 20 minutes early and staying afterwards to greet newcomers. And I hated that. I hated that. But now I love it. I'm so glad I started to do it because I realized, oh my gosh, I'm running late because of decisions that I made. And I started to take responsibility for my life and for my day. And I started to show up 20 minutes early, and it helped me in other areas of my life. And I started to make friends and fellowship. And so now my life is full of fellowship and full of friends. And so many loving friends are here tonight. And that is really a gift of the program. And by working these steps, that is one of the things that we get. We get fellowship, we get friends, we get the fellowship we desire. So I show up early to meetings and I stay afterwards and greet the sponsor, the newcomers. And then the amends have been so freeing. So a lot of my amends are living amends. So one of the things that I talked about with my sponsor after the fifth step was to make amends with people by changing my behavior. So I'm not perfect about it by any stretch of the imagination, but showing up for my family, for my sisters, showing up for their kids, calling them, calling for birthdays and Christmas holidays, whatever it might be, being there for my parents, giving my parents the love and consistency that I wish I had received or could receive. And I know that they did the best that they could at the time. And so I give freely what I've received, and I try to give that to other people now and pass it on. And so those are some of the ways that I make amends and of service, but it's given me so much freedom and so much joy. And we talk about becoming happy, joyous, and free. And I've had that experience, and serenity really becomes real. I can't imagine how many times I prayed the serenity prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept, blah, blah, blah. And serenity really, really has come though. I've heard that we get a second to pause for every year we've been in the program. And so that was really helpful. I remember when I had 5 seconds in the program and I was like, wow, 5 seconds, that's great. Just to pause and to pray and to practice patience and to respond to life instead of just reacting, I get to respond. So I'll mention prayer and meditation is super important and has been super helpful. So that's another thing that I do on a daily basis. And I pray on my knees because that's been suggested to me. And when I hear something in Al-Anon or it's recommended to me by a sponsor, I figure, well, I'll try it. I've heard keep an open mind and learn to listen and listen to learn. So if someone says, oh, this is what they do for prayer and meditation, well, I try it. And if it works, I keep it. If it doesn't, I don't. So I have a God box. I heard about a God box, which is where if I'm obsessing about something, I have obsessive thinking easily. And so I write it down on a piece of paper and I write, thy will be done. And I put it in my God box. And it's actually just a drawer. Some people like to like decorate a nice box and everything. I just have a drawer and I stick it in the drawer. So, but it's like a physical way for me to let go of it and say, okay, it's in the God box. I've turned it over to God. And so I pray and ask God for help every day. I pray the serenity prayer. I've learned from my sponsor that I can put anybody or anything in that prayer. So God grant me the serenity to accept so-and-so, the courage to change myself, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that in the first step, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives would become unmanageable. So I can put anything in there. Admitted we're powerless over people, places, and things, and that our lives would become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And that's been wonderful. Oh my gosh. And it's like the sanity is there, but it's a 24-hour program. It doesn't matter how much time I've got in the program. It's just this 24 hours. And my sponsor has asked me to go to open AA meetings, and I'm so glad that he did, because in the dues it says, do learn about alcoholism. And so I've learned about alcoholism and the pain and the struggle that people who struggle with alcohol go through. And it's given me a lot more compassion for the alcoholic. And I also love the way they work the program, though, because it's really, okay, this is life and death. Like, we got to work this program, and it's just this 24 hours, and I need to stay sober. And so that intensity, though, I need in my life sometimes to work in Al-Anon, because it really is life and death. And not to be overly dramatic, but I've heard people talk about coming out with desperation. And I was at a men's conference this last weekend for Al-Anon and AA. It was a shared conference. And a lot of men shared very intimately that they came to Al-Anon and they were desperate and they were thinking about taking their own lives and they really needed Al-Anon. And so anyone who's here tonight and is really struggling, I'm glad you're here and you're not alone and you can get a phone number and you can reach out. And it's just wonderful that you're here, because I've been to meetings where someone was here because a loved one had just taken their own life, or I got to the very humbling point where I was going through some struggles after being in program, where I even got to that point where I didn't harm myself, but I was having really difficult thoughts about that. And it was really, really humbling to go through. And it was very difficult. And it can be very, a place of real powerlessness. And one of the reasons why I take this program so seriously is because those newcomers need it. And there's a lot of people out there suffering because of alcoholism and other addictions. And I want to be able to help them. I talked in the traditions about offering understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic, and welcoming and giving comfort to families and friends of alcoholics. Well, that's my family. You know, I can welcome and give comfort to my family because all of us have been affected by alcoholism in one way or another. And I want to offer understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. So one quick word on that. So I was at a conference and a convention, and fellowship is a gift. So I really recommend, I'm so glad I heard when someone invites you out to coffee, go with them to coffee, go to the dinners after the meetings, or go to lunch or whatever it is. And that's transformed my life. And that's been so helpful in opening up this fellowship and this friendship. That was like the meeting before the meeting. It was like a whole nother level of Al-Anon by going to fellowship and talking to people over lunch. And they're like, oh, this is what your family was like. And that's what my family was like. And just hearing recovery and hearing experience, strength, and hope outside of the meetings. And then I heard, well, try conventions. So I thought, okay, well, I'll give it a try. Keep an open mind. So I tried conventions in person or on Zoom, and I totally recommend those. It's so wonderful. There's just so much going on. And I heard some really great old timers speak, and I heard this one old timer speak, and I went up to him and I said, look, I interact with a lot of alcoholics, and what can I do if, you know, I'm an Al-Anon, I'm not an alcoholic. What can I do to help them? He said, look, there's four things. All right. You can tell them if they're open, if they're asking. And I try to remember that. I try to say, did they ask? It's attraction, not promotion. Because I've learned in Al-Anon to mind my own business, to let other people go, to give them the respect and dignity that they need to run their own lives. So I'm staying out of it. But if they ask or if they're interested, they're open. So he said, tell them you're not alone. There is a solution. You don't have to feel this way. And I can't help you, but I can put you in touch with people who can. So he said, you're not alone. You don't have to feel this way. There is a solution, and I can't help you. I'm not an alcoholic. I can't help you, but I can put you in touch with people who can. And so I've had the great opportunity. There was someone very close to me who shared with me that he was using. And I didn't know for like 10 years he was using. And I love this person very much. And so he was in the midst of some struggles, and he shared with me what was going on. So I was able to take him that experience, strength, and hope. And I was able to share with him those things. And I got him a bunch of phone numbers for a 12-step program in his area. And I gave them to him. And then I let go. And I called my sponsor. And it's none of my business if that other guy goes to meetings or doesn't go. And 6 months later, he called me up and he was using it again. And I did the same thing. And I gave him the meeting numbers and I let go. And about 6 months later or so, he called again. Well, I found out what was going on and we were in touch, and he went into a recovery program. And so it's none of my business, you know, what he's doing now and if he's going to meetings or not going to meetings, but he went into a recovery program, and I'm glad that I could at least offer whatever I could at that time. And then also just in the importance of why this is such an important thing to me, another reason Al-Anon has helped me, another way it's helped me, is that it isn't just easy now that I've experienced some of the taste of the sweetness of sanity or serenity. There's someone very close to me who was really going through a dark time in her life. And so she took off and we didn't know where she was, and she was suicidal. And so I found out what was going on and heard about it. And I called my sponsor, and it was like this new level of powerlessness. I was like, wow, I am so powerless over this situation. There's absolutely nothing that I can do. I can pray for this person. I left them a message saying I was available. That was, and then I turned it over. called my sponsor. I went to a meeting, and when I was at the meeting, I was able to share and get it up and out. And then one of my sponsors, she used to say, because I did have a woman who was a sponsor for a while. She is an old timer, really a great old timer, and she had so much wisdom. And so she used to say to me that joy that is shared is multiplied, and sorrow that is shared is cut in half. So joy that is shared is multiplied, and sorrow that is shared is cut in half. So I went to the meeting and I shared and let people know what was going on. And this one woman, I still remember her name, Michelle, she came up to me afterwards and gave me a big hug. And she said, I've been through that too, with someone that she cared very much about who had been suicidal. And so there I was again in Al-Anon. I wasn't alone. There was someone who offered me experience, strength, and hope. Michelle was there to help me. The meetings were there, and the meetings are everywhere. And I know that Al-Anon is there with me now as a way of life. Some of the literature talks about that as a way of life. And I looked it up tonight, and it says that living the Al-Anon way is an everyday program. And the more thought I give to it, the greater my rewards will be in contentment, fulfillment, and constant spiritual growth. And I was really struck. That's in December 19th in One Day at a Time, one of our daily readers, of contentment, fulfillment, and constant spiritual growth. And that's been my experience, that there's this contentment and fulfillment and constant spiritual growth. So like the do's, they really do start to happen. Do have fun, do play, do find recreation and hobbies. Like it seemed like it took forever, but finally I'm learning how to play the ukulele. So maybe one of these offsites, I'll bring it along with me and we can, when we have an offsite again, and play some music. I go hiking, I go running. Self-care has been a huge part of my life, and it's a huge part of sanity and serenity. And when I came to Al-Anon, I didn't know what self-care was. About the time I came to Al-Anon, someone said to me, "What are you doing for self-care?" And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Oh, that's scary." Like I didn't know what self-care was. Like when he asked me like that. So now I know self-care is exercise. It's coming to meetings. It's socializing with people. It's having fun. It's listening to music. Making sure it's some of the basics too, of just getting enough sleep. Eating, HALT is huge for me. So H-A-L-T, HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. So am I hungry, angry, lonely, tired? And so checking on those things and staying in touch with myself and with my feelings, feeling my feelings, but realizing that feelings aren't facts. I can feel the feelings and let them go. Feeling my feelings is really hard. That was very painful. I remember sometimes I feel like in Al-Anon, it was like coming to be unfrozen. Like I was frozen and it was very painful to start to move again, but I was able to move again, but there was a lot of pain in that. I remember being encouraged by other people who came up to me after the meetings and said, "That's right. You know, it was hard for me too. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Don't give up." And so I was encouraged by that. So, I do want to go back to fellowship for a moment and just mention that. So fellowship has been tremendous. I go to a home group I mentioned on Sunday night, and we fellowship for half an hour before the meeting, even on Zoom, because that's what we used to do face to face. And once a month now we have a fellowship in the park that's socially distanced, and it's wonderful. It's just a good time to be with other people. And again, that's where I can see where my life has changed. That's the type of thing that I was scared of before, but now I come back to it and it's very life-giving for me, and I want to be there for other people. And so tonight I got a text right before I got on, and it was from one of my buddies in LA, and he was just encouraging me. And those little notes mean so much. And there's so much love that I've received back from this program. And he's part of a core group of guys that I used to go out to dinner with every single week before our home group in LA. And when I moved to Oakland, the first thing I did was I took out a picture of those guys that I had with me, and I put it on my desk and set it out there. And it was the first thing I unpacked. And those guys are still with me. I remember we ended one of the men's weekends together in Al-Anon, and just to have so much intimacy. And I've learned in Al-Anon, intimacy isn't just about romantic love. There's intimacy is letting other people get to know me and getting to know them. And the intimacy, the vulnerability, the honesty, the truth that's shared, especially among men in Al-Anon when we were on the men's weekend, was incredible. And we put our arms around each other's shoulders at the end of the retreat as we were closing out with a prayer. And one of the guys said, "When you go home, now remember that everyone who is here on this weekend with you is still with you." And so it's like I carry all those people with me in my heart, and I carry all of you in my heart. And as I was praying and getting ready for tonight's meeting, I was looking back over home groups over the past that I've appreciated in Alaska and Oakland and the Bay Area, in LA, and all those people I'm so close to. And I spent 3 years of my life in Mexico since I was in program. And so I had a home group and a sponsor and a sponsee in Mexico. And so it really is a worldwide program. There's people here tonight from other countries that I met at the conference last weekend. And glad you're here, Jason from New Zealand. So So anyway, it's such a worldwide program. And now with Zoom, we can meet up everywhere, all over the place. And so again, that gift that I'm not alone, I've got a higher power with me. I don't have to be afraid of perfectionism anymore. Step 10 helps me with that. Step 10 says that continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So guess what? I get to be a human being. I get to be wrong. I get to relax in my own skin. And so I can make a mistake, and then I can just continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So if I'm wrong, I admit it. I move on. I talk to my sponsor about it, and life goes on. I had this friend, he says every now and then he'll just say, you know, there's nothing wrong. It's like, just to be reminded of that. And I want to have sensitivity for those who really have some crises going on in their lives right now. So I'm not trying to minimize that. But what Al-Anon gives me is it gives me a perspective so that when someone's having a positive day, they come in and they share experience, strength, and hope. And it gives me a light to look forward to of how it can be. And then when someone's in Al-Anon and they share how difficult it is and how much pain they're in, that gives me a perspective to be grateful for all that I have and to also try to support them. And so I've been in those places of a lot of pain and darkness. And now I can say that there's also a lot of light and a lot of joy. And gratitude is so powerful. Making a gratitude list. So I have a friend who sends me a gratitude list of 10 things every day. And then I try to make a list of 10 things that I'm grateful for. So another thing that someone taught me to do that we always laugh about is the alphabet. So being grateful for the alphabet, and it changes my attitude. I had a really bad attitude one morning. So I heard about this in a meeting, and I just go through the alphabet, like A, I'm grateful for apples. B, I'm grateful for whatever it might be. C, I'm grateful for cats. D, I'm grateful for dogs. And usually I start to crack up and then forget about it because it changes my attitude and I'm so grateful. But I just go through the alphabet and find something that I'm grateful for with each letter. So gratitude is tremendously important. And so there is joy and there is light. And then on another day when I'm struggling, I'll come in here and I'll hear someone else sharing about their experience, strength, and hope and how things are going well for them. And so that serenity and joy is a real gift, but I have to keep contributing to it. And so I have to be there for the newcomer to welcome them and to pass on what I've received. And so I was thinking tonight too, I might share about some of my favorite literature. So if there's a newcomer who's looking for literature, there's a book called How Al-Anon Works, and that's another great book to start with. And some of those are available from Al-Anon websites, or else there's a literature person in this meeting. I think it's Matt I, so you can find him and the information that's in the chat. And How Al-Anon Works has some really great stories in the back. I just went straight to the stories. I was desperate. I needed the stories. And then I still go straight to the slogans. It has some really great paragraphs just on the slogans, like keep it simple, because I overcomplicate everything and make it so complicated and exhaust myself. And so, you know, going to those little things like keep it simple and easy does it one day at a time. And they've got these great little paragraphs. Then there's the daily readers. Those have been really helpful. There's some great pamphlets. If you're wondering, gosh, why am I here? What am I here for? Should I be here? You know, there's this pamphlet that's called the 20 questions. And the one that I'm thinking of, I think it says at the top, did I grow up with a problem drinker? So it's just called the 20 questions. And I found that really helpful because even to this day, after some years in Al-Anon, I can answer yes to 18 out of 20 of those questions. And so when I need to remember why am I in Al-Anon, I look at that pamphlet and I think, oh, this is good. Okay, I need to be in Al-Anon. I need to be here. And that's still, I come to meetings because of the same reason I kept coming back to the first meetings I came to, because afterwards I feel better. And if I go a few days without meetings, I feel terrible. And how many meetings should I go to? Well, as many as I need to. So I know some people go to lots of meetings every week, and I go to at least my home group every week, and it depends on my work schedule. But there's been some weeks where I've gone to more. I mentioned open AA meetings being really helpful on a regular basis. Again, letting people get to know me and getting to know them. There's another pamphlet that's really helpful on detachment. And that pamphlet on detachment is one of my favorite pieces of literature. So loving detachment, what does that mean? That I can let go of my loved ones, that I can give them the dignity to let them go and put them in God's hands. And so it doesn't mean I don't care about them, but I can't control them. Again, I didn't cause it. I can't cure it. I can't control it. And we talk about the three A's in Al-Anon: awareness, acceptance, and action. So I can be aware that I love them. I can be aware of my feelings. I can be aware that I'd love to do something to help them. But acceptance is, well, I'm powerless over alcoholism and what they decide to do or not do. And then action. My action can be to pray. My action can be to call my sponsor. My action can be to work with newcomers, to go to a meeting. There's so many actions I can take. I heard it described as like, I've got two plants and not that I want to be mean to any plants, but you know, there's one plant that I water that plant and it's going to grow. And if I don't water the other plant, what's going to happen? It's going to die. So if I water all the positive stuff in my life, and that's the actions I take, those positive actions, and then it grows and grows and grows and it gets stronger, because I want to change my thoughts, my thinking that got me here. And I think, oh, I'm not going to think this, but I need to replace it with something new. So again, I heard move a muscle, change a thought. So I get up and I pick up the phone and I call someone and ask them how they're doing today. Or I ask them if they can take a program call and I talk to them about what's going on. Or I pick up the literature, or I get on my knees and pray, or I clean the sink, I do something. So I replace those thoughts with something different, because my best thinking got me here, and my best thinking is not going to get me out of here. I need to act my way into a new way of thinking, not try to think my way into a new way of acting. And I've heard that, again, that it's a program of action and also of altered attitudes. And so I need to change my attitude. So yeah. Well, again, the greatest gift I would say that Al-Anon has been definitely the being able to experience love from others and to love them back and to experience that and to be able to show up for other people now in my life. And so I'm just going back to the steps to peek at those for a moment and see how those help. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So again, God can be a hang up for some people. And so I, again, have kept an open mind and just listened and kept coming to meetings until I heard something that was helpful. I've heard about in this meeting, sometimes we talk about a group of dudes. sometimes people talk about good, orderly direction. They use the group as their higher power, whatever it might be. But the main thing is it's been helpful to get a sponsor and talk through that with someone and work it out. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. One of the things that sticks out to me about that step is it says ourselves. It doesn't say that I made a searching and fearless moral inventory of anybody else, but I make a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. So admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. And so for me, admitting that to God was really important. So being able to admit when I need help and ask others for help. So like asking for support tonight from my home group and from other people was really uncomfortable, but I'm glad that I did. And like my friend Max, who texted me, like he was happy to come. And it was so surprising to me. Like, it's like, so like other people might actually appreciate the invitation. And so that was really helpful for me. And that was something I wanted to go back to, is that the intimacy and walking together in life on this happy road of destiny is incredible. And so sticking around long enough to walk through life together is really amazing. And so I've walked through life and then the end of life with two people now in the program. So up in Alaska, some of the people who are here tonight remember someone in our home group who got cancer, and she was sick. And we actually had Al-Anon meetings at her home, at her bedside. And then we were with her. And after she died, we were with her family at the memorial service, and we got to offer loving support to her family. So, and to support to one another and to her. And then just last November, one of my sponsees was terminally ill with cancer, and it was an honor and a privilege. So again, there's nothing like it's so humbling as a sponsor to be able to have someone trust me enough to share their fourth and fifth step with me. So again, that's a sacred relationship. And so for those who are looking for sponsors or are sponsors or being sponsored by someone else, like I guess the message for me that I've learned is not to be afraid, that it is a searching and fearless moral inventory, and I can give God my fear. And I can just step out in that faith, because faith has replaced my fear. And my sponsor has shown me that by being there for me. And now I can be there for other men. And I'm so humbled when they open up their hearts and they share with me their fourth step. And so this sponsee had cancer, and I got to be with him and be at his bedside as he was dying and be with his family and offer support. And then 12-step friends that he had in the program after many years, we all got together and we had a Zoom memorial for him. That was just tremendous. So those are some of the experiences that have made my life rich today and just wonderful. And I'm so grateful for Al-Anon. And I'll go back to conventions, maybe jump around a little bit here right now, but just some of the rich experiences that I've had now over the years. The conventions, there was one convention I was at, and it reminds me of this meeting tonight and birthday meetings specifically. Again, the question of God can be difficult sometimes. And so I was at this meeting, and we were at this big convention, the All Alaska Roundup, and they have it once a year, and I highly recommend going. It's really a lot of fun. It's in January, and it's really beautiful that time of year. And you'll have blue sky and snow. And we went there, and and it was one of my first conventions, and there was these speakers, and we were spending Friday there, and then we'd be back on all day Saturday and most of Sunday. And at one point I turned to my friend Gaby, and she looked at me, and everyone was happy and joyful, and not in a fake and a false way, just enjoying themselves and having a really good time and sharing recovery, the gift of recovery and the joy of recovery. And Gaby looks at me, she goes, do you feel that? And I was like, yeah. She goes, that's God. And I was like, whoa. And it was so true. Like, it's like this tangible love that's real. And that's the attraction, not promotion, that people come and they feel this love and they experience it and they see it in people's faces and they experience that joy. And so that's what's helped me. And I like the step two. It's a very gentle program. I've heard to be gentle with myself, to be gentle with others, and to realize that it's a gentle program. And I try to believe in a gentle higher power. Because in step two, it says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So it's like coming to believe. So when I hear came to believe, that's like a process. So it wasn't necessarily instantaneous. Like, it's okay if it takes time. And it did take time. For me, it took time just coming back and reading the literature and coming back little by little, day by day. And then skipping back up to, admitted to God, to ourselves, as another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Yeah, I could pray for the courage to talk to my sponsor about that stuff. And it was actually very freeing. It may sound crazy, like, oh my gosh, how am I going to tell anyone all this stuff about me? But it was really freeing to let go of that stuff and to say it out loud to another human being and to realize, wow, you know, he still cares for me. He still loves me, and life goes on now. And courage, I've heard, is fear that has said its prayers. And so just asking my higher power to help me through the steps if I'm having difficulty with any of them. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So I've struggled with the defects of character of fear, insecurity, and pride. And what I like is I kind of believe in a Mr. Miyagi God, if you're familiar with the Karate Kid. So Mr. Miyagi like has him do all this stuff. And he's like, why am I doing this? And then afterwards he finds out, oh, well, look, it's just, that's how I do my karate. Well, it's like sometimes I was like with my sponsor, like, why do I have to show up to meetings 20 minutes early? Well, guess what? It helped with my fear and my insecurity because I had to get up and I had to say hello to people and I had to greet them. And I practiced act as if and fake it till I make it. And then the best thing about Al-Anon is it's helped me in all my affairs, in the sense that it's not just in Al-Anon, but these rooms become a place where I practice. And now I practice these principles in all my affairs. So at work, with my housemates, with my family, I act as if. I ask them, how are you doing? How was your day? What's going on? And I try to give what I want to receive. And so again, it was like, okay, I showed up early. I did these things. And so it's not like God can do whatever God wants, but it wasn't to me. It wasn't so much like I was hit with a magic wand and all my character defects disappeared. Like, like what happened is for like the fear and the insecurity and pride. Well, I got to pray. I got to, you know, if I want to grow in self-esteem, I need to do esteemable acts. If I want to grow and, you know, just step out and encourage and in all these actions. And so that's, again, how the actions help me to walk through those. So being set free from those has been wonderful. And then I see those things as gifts now, and I can see how God has taken what I saw just as defects of character and has turned them into gifts, and I can use them. And I can do a contrary action. So if I'm feeling afraid of something, I can think about it, pray about it, ask for help, talk to my sponsor, but sometimes then I walk through it. And so then the person who struggles with fear, insecurity, and pride, that was me. I was in LA and I heard about this. Again, I said fellowship was like a whole new world for me in Al-Anon, and it helped so much. And so I was at this meeting, and I'd really stayed away from fellowship. And so that this meeting that they still have in Hollywood, they were talking about how, okay, well, we have a sponsorship coordinator and afterwards we're all meeting in the park and just come to sponsorship. So I went and I tried it for a couple of weeks and I thought, this is great. This is so much fun. And we went to lunch. And so then I was the one who's struggling with fear, insecurity, and pride. I went to the guys that I was close to in my home group. And I was like, hey, you guys want to go out to dinner? And so we started going to dinner every week. And so I started that up. And it's like, wow, I can actually take actions and I can do these things and other people benefit from them and appreciate them. And it's been really helpful. So now I get to be some of the change that I want to see in the world. So we humbly asked them to remove our shortcomings. So humility is being teachable. And I've heard that humility is the basis of the program. And so really allowing God to teach me, allowing other people to teach me, listening to others at the meetings, showing up, again, asking for help, being able to admit that I need help, made a list of all the person we'd harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. I love that word willing. So just going through the steps like this helps me because it reminds me of these key words that help me. And so One of the things that helped me through Al-Anon was they said, how do you do it? Like how, H-O-W, to honest, open, and willing. And willingness is not always easy for me in so many areas of my life, but I pray for willingness like I pray for acceptance. And one of the things I love is I can pray for the willingness to be willing. So God, please help me to have the willingness to let go. And so became willing to make amends to them all. And so we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except would do so would injure them or others. Yeah, and step 11, just to go to that for a moment, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So letting go of my way and my ego, which I've heard is like edging God out. Ego is edging God out. And so letting go of my ego and praying for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And so I may not always know what God's will is, but I can pray thy will be done. A friend, she had this great prayer and I loved it because it was kind of scary to me, but she said, God, put me where you want me to be. Surprise me. Thank you. I was like, wow, that's real surrender. Like, God, put me where you want me to be. Surprise me. Thank you. And I love that prayer though. It's just like a total trust prayer. Just like, all right, put me where you want me to be. Surprise me. And thank you. And I've heard from other people that they pray in the mornings, you know, make me of maximum use, to my fellows, to my neighbors. And so those are some great ways to be of service and just ask God to put me where God wants me to be. And one of the things my sponsor used to tell me is just to invite God in. And so when I'm going to like where I live with my housemates, you know, I'm going into the dining room and I'm a little anxious about this or that. And I'm still dealing with fear, insecurity, and pride. So I say, okay, God, please go in front of me. And I invite God into the conversation, right? I invite God into it. And I pray a lot. It's asking for help. When I struggle with other people, I really ask God to help me to see them as God sees them. And that's the wonderful tradition that talks about principles above personalities. So Al-Anon helps me in the rooms. I didn't like business meetings at all. In fact, though, I want to tell the newcomers, I highly recommend business meetings. That may sound crazy, but I highly recommend them because the reason I didn't like business meetings is because that's where I get to practice my program. I get to be patient. I get to learn to be with other people. Thanks, Diego. I saw that. So I get to practice the program and be patient and be with other people. And so a miracle, an Al-Anon miracle, there's so many of them, but I remember an Al-Anon miracle at a home group that I used to have here in Oakland, a different home group. And I went to a meeting and I made a proposal and I let go of it and the group didn't accept my proposal and that was it. And that was okay. And I was okay with that. And we left the meeting and we were still on talking terms. Like business meetings are learning to use the traditions and get along with one another and get to, you know, so I've heard it said, but I'll repeat it. You know, the steps are so I don't commit suicide and the traditions are so I don't commit homicide. And so like the traditions help me to learn how to get along with other people. And so I can practice them in every area of my life. Like I've realized, oh, I'm like a little group. So I don't have to have outside opinions on this. I can keep my mouth shut. our common welfare should come first. Personal progress for the greatest number depends on unity. So I can take that into my house. I can take that into my workspace. I don't necessarily have to tell people, hey, guess what? I'm on tradition one right now. I can be thinking that in the back of my mind. And so the traditions are just wonderful. And so I didn't like business meetings, but I'm so glad that I go to them now and I see why they help and they've helped me so much just sitting through them, just listening to them. And so going to business meetings can be really a big help. Again, that's where recovery has helped, being of service. They talk about unity, service, and recovery, that those three go together. So being of service has really helped because it gets me out of myself and into service. Because when I'm in myself and I'm isolating, I'm into that loneliness and I'm away from the program and recovery. But when I'm out of myself, it usually helps me. And I've had to learn to say yes and no. You know, that can be difficult for Al-Anons. Like, okay, what if I'm overextended all the time and I'm just saying yes all the time? Well, I talk it through with a sponsor and I've had to find that balance. And I love that word balance. It's been so important to find balance. But Al-Anon's helped me to find that balance over time. And I don't always get it right. But it's learning to say yes. And it's also learning to say no and to have boundaries. I can have boundaries now today, but I've also heard that they're not barriers. They're not walls. They can be bridges. My boundaries are flexible. They're movable and they're my boundaries. They're not other people's boundaries. So I'm responsible for my side of the street and not for other people's side of the street, and I can take care of myself. Yeah, and each group, so there's a tradition that I like that I wanted to mention, that each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting another group or Al-Anon or AA as a whole. So how the heck would I ever apply that to myself? Well, again, if I apply that to myself like a group, then I'm autonomous and self-supporting. And so I need to take care of myself, to ask for help when I need it, to be self-supporting when I don't, and just like it says in the traditions. Yeah, and then I would like to mention also in the concepts I didn't even know that they existed for a long time, but there's the steps, the traditions, and then there's the concepts, but don't worry about those if you're a newcomer, but just that they do help. There's the concepts, there's one that says participation is the key to harmony. So again, showing up, being at business meetings, being with my family, picking up the telephone, participating in my own life, asking God for the courage to participate in my own life, that's really what's helpful. So all those things have been really helpful. So yeah, looking back over how it was, what happened, and how it is now, it's just a new journey. And it's new and exciting, and I don't know where it's going to go next. But I have this program with me. I have these people that I love with me. And I turn over my family and my other friends over. If people are using or not using, it's not my business. And then anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personalities. I've had the anxiety sometimes of walking into a meeting and seeing someone else that I know there and wondering, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Like, there's someone that I know in this meeting. But I've learned that, you know, I can try to do my best to respect other people's anonymity, but I can't control them, whatever they might do or not do. But I've had experiences with that that were fine. Or if I see someone out in public, I'm not talking to them, but just letting them go and remembering that what I hear in the meeting stays in the meetings. So trying to think what else might be helpful to the newcomers. I'll just go back to those basics for one more moment though, which is what really helps me is making phone calls, having a phone list, not worrying about it. They say sometimes it's like a 300-pound phone, but just picking up the phone and trying it out. And I know some people who just calling up and saying, hey, can I make a phone? Can you take a program call? And that's all it takes. So that's how you do make a program call. And again, you can ask, how are you doing? How's your day been? Or can I talk to you about something that's going on? And that's how a program call works. And some people will put if they're sponsoring or not sponsoring on their phone list. And then praying, asking for help. That's another big thing, getting to a meeting, especially a home group, getting a sponsor, reading the literature, and then starting to sponsor other people in the program. So when I talked to my sponsor and he said that I was ready for that, just going up to people and talking to them. And then also, I mentioned, I think already, that I tried to learn not to push things on other people. And so I try to ask, you know, did they ask? But with newcomers, sometimes I'll go up to newcomers and ask them, hey, would you be interested in some information about this? Or this is an experience that I've had or something like that. But I try to, you know, just sometimes they don't know what to ask. They don't even know where to start. But asking people, well, what brought you here and how'd you get here tonight? And then when I go to meetings and I'm looking for meetings, this is a great one that I highly recommend. But I definitely recommend looking for meetings that have strong recovery, meetings that focus on the steps, meetings that focus on the traditions, meetings that focus on sponsorship. And that's really been helpful to me. And one of the things that I do is with Zoom or before there was Zoom is I'll ask other people and say, hey, do you know any good meetings that you recommend? And that can be a really good way to find good meetings. Or if I'm looking for a sponsor or someone, just talk to someone and then ask them, well, who would you recommend or who would you listen to? And go with an open mind and an open heart. So in the end, it may be strange to say, but now my life is so much richer due to Al-Anon that I would say that I'm grateful for what happened in my life and in my family and where I was growing up. Because it was affected by alcoholism. And so I had a lot of fear when I was growing up. There was a lot of rage in the home. There was some verbal abuse, some physical abuse. And so growing up in that environment, I was highly sensitive to all these things around me. And I tried to keep the peace with everyone else. But what I've learned basically overall in Al-Anon is that I'm not responsible for other people's thoughts, feelings, reactions, responses, and I can let those go and turn those over by all those things that I've mentioned, by praying, by working the steps, by using the slogans, just by practicing over time and turning it over. And so I hope this has been helpful to someone tonight. I know it's been a gift to be with all of you tonight. And I want to thank Eric again for the gift of being invited to speak. And that's all I got tonight. So hope you have a great night and keep coming back.
Thank you, Dominic.